This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich here with you for one more hour. Man, seven runs there for this Yankees team. They not...
Not exactly ripping the cover off the ball.
No. They got five hits and seven runs.
Yeah, and like there's a bases clearing double in there that the sun played a factor in. You had a drop ball with two outs and then the two-run homer by Judge. It's just like, frustrating.
Yeah.
Frustrating. And you also have like two walks, hit by pitch. It's just, a lot went wrong.
Yeah, Severino figured out a way to throw 95 pitches in 3 2/3 innings.
That's hard to do.
That is very hard to do. Yeah. Stroman, on the other hand, four innings, two hits, two walks, only one strikeout, but 57 pitches for him. And so he is holding down this A's team that we just said can't hit the ball anymore.
No, I mean, they're struggling to hit the baseball. And the Yankees have been too. And I just kind of poor circumstances got them through this one.
So we were talking about the reason we might like the Phillies. And now there's still game to be played. They're up 2-1 right now. But you look at Spencer Strider, we're 5 2/3 in here, Mike. He's at 80 pitches. We can see on the screen with us right here, but two Ks.
Yeah.
And this is why it's not like we're trying to pick on Spencer Strider necessarily. It's just, he's just not himself.
Well, the Spencer Strider that was dominant was throwing 98 to 100. The Spencer Strider we're seeing right now is throwing 94 to 96. And he's a two pitch pitcher. You've talked about this before. And when your fastball loses even 2 or 3 miles per hour, the velocity makes a big difference. And he's fortunate, I'd say, to have only given up two so far. The bases were loaded in the first. They just got a first and second, no outs, double play to set up the situation here with two outs and a runner on third. I don't know why this is plus 130. The first five got home, which was nice. Now the question is, are they going to be able to win the game as well? But this is, Strider's one of those pitchers where if he's going to get respect in the market, like the 2 years ago Strider number, I'm willing to play against him, even with this Braves lineup behind him.
Baltimore up 2-0 on Tampa Bay. And it's going to be very interesting here because at 35 and 47, I think if you're Baltimore, you have to be looking at yourself in the mirror going, okay, we're going to be sellers and we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone and we are going to have to get rid of someone that we don't want to get rid of. But this is not working. It's not working. This team should not be this bad.
Well, it's windows in baseball are really difficult.
Yeah.
People talk about when's your window open? When does it close? When do you want to start trying to play in a certain manner? I don't, like, as a Cubs fan, let me tell you about windows. You know, it was Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Zambrano losing to the Marlins in game 7. That was supposed to be the first year of like a 6-year window. Even when they won the World Series with Chris Bryant et al., that was supposed to be the first year of a window. That was the window. The window might have been last year for the Orioles, and they didn't do anything at the break. And they were loaded with prospects, didn't go get an arm, didn't make themselves better. And now you're seeing yourself struggle, and every one of their prospects, maybe sans a couple of them, are worth 75 cents, 60 cents of what they were last year at this point. And it's just got to be a awful, awful feeling inside the front offices of this Baltimore Orioles team, because I'm not sure what you do now. Who do you sell?
Yeah. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn, probably. I mean, like...
Right, but what are you going to get back for him?
Yeah, Cedric Mullins.
Compared to, like, what you could have gotten if you move some of these younger blue-chip prospects who are now... I don't know. What's a three levels down from a blue-chip prospect? A teal prospect?
A bronze prospect.
Because they just are not going to command the same thing in the market now. Yeah.
Blue Jays, though, on the other hand, playing some good ball, 44 and 38 on the season. We talked about how that division has tightened up a lot. They are up 5-2 on the Red Sox, who are 41 and 43 on the season, but shockingly only 7 games out of it, considering the way that this division has played out right now. So is there any chance that we are talking about the Blue Jays actually contending in this division a month from now?
Yes.
Okay.
We both didn't like the Yankees coming into the season. And I think we're starting to see that play out with the struggles we're seeing from Judge and the fact that no one else really is hitting in that lineup. Goldschmidt falling back down to earth. You're not getting production from the bottom half of the lineup. You're not getting production that you wanted from Dominguez, from Volpe. The pitching staff isn't that good. So if we were willing to take a shot preseason and now we have what I think is probably the best ball we're going to see all year from the Yankees already played, I'm more than willing to take a shot with somebody else. And the Red Sox aren't going to be it because they, the whole Devers situation and what happened with them, I don't see them being able to make a run. So then it's the Rays and the Blue Jays. Who do you like? Because I would rather bet either of them than the Yankees.
Yeah. I know the Rays just always figure it out, but like
smoke and mirrors, right?
Yeah, it's just the Blue Jays are the definitely the better team.
Yes. Yes, they are definitely the better team now, from whether the top to bottom.
Not the better organization, I guess. No. The Rays have proven it that they can figure out how to win with guys you've never heard of over and over and over again. But yeah, I might have to like look into this a little bit further.
Do you think either's active at the deadline? Who's more likely to be active at the deadline?
The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays?
Yeah. The Rays don't have any assets. Like it's like look who plays for this team.
You're right, they don't, but they always seem to do something.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe it's bullpen help. I don't know what the move is for them, but yeah, I mean, I would much rather play +320 on the Rays or +650 on the Blue Jays than -250 on the Yankees to win that division.
Even like, here's the thing that's great about the new sports books is they usually just leave all the stuff up, even though the games are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. Divisions. Let's see. AL East. You get the Blue Jays at +650.
Yeah. 650 on the Rays are what? +320.
320.
And the Yankees are -250. 210, somewhere in there.
210 now.
Yeah. I mean, why would you ever bet the Yankees?
Right. Dude, a 650. I might have to dig into this a little further. 650 on the Jays is...
It's juicy.
Pretty juicy.
Yeah, it's a nice number. I mean, again...
Especially when you consider we don't like what the Yankees have from a pitching perspective. Like, that'd be different. Like, even if this lineup gets to hitting like they were... I don't like what they have from a pitching perspective.
You want the Orioles at 250-1?
No, I do not want the Orioles at 250-1 with that. I mean, so we know the Yankees will be active.
Yes.
But what does that mean, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to is they'll have to get it. They're going to have to get at least one starter.
I don't know what they do to like, who are they giving up?
Yeah. I mean, it'd have to be prospects. It'd have to be someone in the organization, you know?
It doesn't seem like there's that much meat on the bone in the Yankees. Like, I don't know.
+650 is interesting. That might be. I'm going to look into that one a little bit more.
There you go.
I think that
tune in next week. Ready, set, bet.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I think that's worth. I think it's worth looking into. Padres 1-0 over the Reds, and this wow, top of the sixth, only one run there in that one. Lodolo, good Lodolo today. 5 1/3, only gives up one earn, only walked two. So you got good Lodolo now in 5 1/3. He managed to throw 95 pitches because that's, you know, also
what he does.
Lodolo. But Kolick, 5 innings for this Padres team. Only 1 hit, 1 walk, 5 Ks, and no earned. He is only at 59 pitches. So we are going to see some more of Mr. Kolick here for this Padres team.
Yeah, he's pitching well. Yeah. He's a good outing against the Reds team that can hit the baseball. It's going to be an interesting game. Top six right now, 1 out, 2 on for the Padres. We'll see how long Kolick goes. Maybe one more, I would say. And then you get to this Padres bullpen, which is not bad at the back half of it.
Are they going to pull him because of analytics? Or you? I mean, like, 59 pitches is not very much. So you're just assuming he gets pulled for analytics, like third time through the lineup type stuff or whatever?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You see it too much that, like, I mean, maybe they let him go, right? He's given up 1 hit. He struck out 5, walked 1, like you said. Maybe they let him go. But in a one-run game, I think the leash is shorter.
If you guys want to get in with us here, I told you to not make a ticket, but go ahead. You can make a ticket. It's fine. We're friendly here on the show. First Bet's a place to do it. We're going to try to win some horse bets today. And you go in, firstbet.com. That's 1STBET.com. VEASAN 200 is your promo code. So whenever you go in there, do that, deposit, and you can get a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200 if you use that promo code at VEASAN 200. We say not only are they our preferred play to bet horse racing, but also you can watch the races right there in the app as well. It really does make everything great. Firstbet.com, 1STBET.com, VEASAN 200, your promo code.
9 minutes to the start of the pick six at Churchill.
Oh, boy.
And
I'm nervous.
The 7 password.
I'm nervous.
Who is 7-2 on the morning line is currently your favorite at even money. So password, bet pretty hard. If you want to look for something a little better priced, I like the 7-6 exacta. That's 12-1 right now. Currently a little right around 3 million in the pick six pool, but that is going to balloon as we get closer to post. That's when the majority of the money is going to get bet.
Oh, so even though we only have 9 minutes left, you expect this to like,
oh, it's going to go up. So there's been about $1 million new money bet into this. So the takeout on this, I believe, is 20%. So 1.4 million, if you multiply that by five, you'd expect you're going to get at a minimum, 7.5 million.
Okay. And who are we on in this? Are we going to lose the very first one?
No, we will get through the first
race. Okay.
We have a lot of horses here.
I did a pick six with Mike a couple of weeks ago. And despite having four horses in the first race, I was dead after one.
Well, welcome to horse racing, right? I mean, that's the one thing. Like, this is your animals with animals on top of them. Things happen. Like yesterday, man, we were right on everything except Dr. Venkman. So Mind Frame won. Nice to have a winner yesterday in the pony up segment.
Okay.
Dr. Venkman ran second and got a just brutal trip. Got boxed in, hemmed in, got bumped up the stretch, and ends up running second, missing by about a half length. Would have won the race if he got out a little bit earlier.
Here's the thing. He might not have been feeling it. He might have woke up wrong side of the barn. I was about to say bed, but I was, you know, wrong side of the stall.
Yeah.
You know, wrong side of the barn. And not
he ran well, just not good enough. Faden Booth was the correct thing to do. Just unfortunately, Venkman didn't get up.
Oh, speaking of horse racing, unfortunately, Dwayne Lucas just passed away.
Yeah. A legend, absolute legend in the sport. He's in the Hall of Fame for both quarter horse and thoroughbreds. He's got 15 Triple Crown wins, 20 Breeders' Cup wins, and he was the only trainer to ever win the Triple Crown with two horses, 1995.
Oh.
He had a winner in the Derby and the Belmont and won the Preakness with a different horse.
Yeah, just announcement there by Churchill Downs itself, actually, that he passed away at his home last night. So, unfortunate news there for that one. Mike, when we come back, we'll see if our horse ran fast, and we'll talk about some teams that we like in the NFL a little bit better than most and teams we don't.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt Brown, Mike Somich here as we watch AP spray one over on the other side of the gallery, which is never good. Into the gallery is not great, but other side of the gallery is never any good.
I mean, he might be in the other fairway. So maybe mentally he just needs a reset. You get one good break, and then you just take that momentum and ride it home. Do you think Poltgeister's seeing some poltergeists out there? Is he seeing some ghosts?
So as far as this tournament goes, I have Knapp. Kelly Bidlin has Grazerman. And I think Wes has someone, I think, maybe.
Well,
he might have Chorborns, or maybe he has Chorborns just in the placement markets or something like that.
But Knapp for an eagle on six and a two-stroke outright lead.
So Wes has...
Not good.
Wes has Chorbornson, Kelly has Grazerman, and I have Knapp. So...
Go bet Kirk.
So the Long Shots podcast has this one surrounded. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. We'll somehow thread the needle and not get this
I one. Mean, there's eight guys within a stroke of the lead on an incredibly birdieable course. So this is... it's going to be a scramble in.
Yeah. In the house... So I guess your leader in the clubhouse is Minwoo Lee, who went 6 under and finished at 18. So he is in the clubhouse with the lead currently.
I'm going to go out and limb and say 18 doesn't get it done.
Okay, say 18 probably didn't get it done either, because there's a whole bunch of guys still sitting at 18 right now who have a lot of holes left to play.
And there's also four at 19 who have a lot of holes left to play too. Yeah,
including AP.
Yeah. Is it 19 now?
No. I'm saying at 18 with a lot to play, with a lot of holes to play.
Lawrence at 18 now. Should have put my Lawrence at 22-1 in.
Your Thriston bet.
Another little dart.
You said you just didn't want to bet someone named Thriston.
Yeah.
But he's foreign.
I mean, I bet against him in the U.S. Open quite a few times.
I like you to miss here, Kirk. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good for the Long Shots pod. Yeah,
let's guess.
Kirk is not the name that you want on top of this. What are the odds this goes to a playoff?
I mean, 60%?
Even money? So you'd bet minus 110.
Yeah.
We get a playoff?
Yeah.
Spicy.
Well, with this amount of people, I mean, like.
Yeah, there's a ton of people close.
Yeah, with this amount of people. Okay, so three teams we like better than the market and three teams that we dislike better than the market out there. And let's start with three that are kind of on our down list here, because one of the teams you and I agree on here, and that's the Chiefs. And I want to preface this when I say the Chiefs. It's not that I think the Chiefs are going to be bad, Mike. It is just, I do believe it's a year older for Kelce. The other teams around them got better, while I think that they maybe stayed in neutral a little bit. And so it's not necessarily that I think the Chiefs are going to be bad. So I don't want anyone to think that. What I am saying is 11.5, as we mentioned with the Ravens, is a big win total.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to 12 wins with this team and the teams around them, in my opinion, getting better, I think might be a tough climb.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we looked at this segment, this is the Kansas City Chiefs team that went 15-2 last year. That was the number one seed in the AFC. They are not winning 15 games this year. They are not going to be the number one seed in the AFC. So to me, they're a pretty easy team to put on this list, even though I think the Chiefs are going to be good, going to make the playoffs. I do think it is not a foregone conclusion they win the division, which is something that we have not said the last 3 or 4 years. You mentioned teams that have gotten better. Everyone in this division is better. Everyone has a legitimate head coach. Everyone has a legitimate starting quarterback. Maybe not Bo Nix. We'll find out. So I do think all three of the teams behind them improved. I think that they are a year older.
Mm-hmm.
You've got questions that Rashee Rice coming back at wide receiver. Travis Kelce never looked like Travis Kelce, even the playoffs last year. Pacheco came off a knee injury last year. He wasn't Pacheco. So I have a lot of questions. A
couple holes in the offensive line.
The offensive line, yeah. So like, there's enough questions around this Chiefs team where I'm not saying, you know, they're going to win 8 games.
Right. Yeah.
But
neither one of us are saying that.
They're not going to be the number one seed in the AFC. And I do think they're going to struggle to win the division. I actually have the Chargers winning the division.
Mm-hmm. So let's just go to a couple of teams that we like better than most people, because it is in that division. It's just different teams. I have the Broncos and you have the Chargers, and you have the Chargers winning that division, you said.
Yeah, I do. I think the Chargers end up winning this division. The second year under Harbaugh, I think, is going to be a nice step forward. I like the running back combination of Najee Harris and Omarion Hampton. I think Hampton could be a superstar for this team. You've got, in my mind, you get Ladd McConkey second year. That's good. The wide receiver troops could be better, but you've got Justin Herbert, who he is not Patrick Mahomes, but we haven't seen Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes in a minute either. Mm-hmm. So you could make a case that they have, I'm not going to say the better quarterback in the division, but their gap is not as wide as some people would assume. On the defensive side, I like what they did on the interior of their defensive line. I think their secondary is going to be a little bit better. And again, this is second year under Harbaugh. I do think you're going to see a step forward inside an organization that was a mess when he got there.
And I went with the Broncos, and I actually bet the Broncos to win the division. And I know this is probably all going to fall on whether Bo Nix makes a second year step or not, but it's a good offensive line. He has playmakers all around. They add Ingram, they add a running back in Harvey as well. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball, it is a very stout defense as well. They add Greenlaw to this defense. It was already pretty good as it was. And I think you have, like you said, the gap has just shortened so much between the Chiefs and the other teams in this division. And honestly, I don't think the Raiders are going to be just complete gutter trash.
Well, I mean, look, like, the Raiders are so much more mature in the building.
Yeah.
I mean, at the quarterback position, at the head coaching position, there are adults in the room. Hmm. There were not adults in the room last year. And so that alone is going to make a difference for this team. I'm not as high on Genty as other people are, but I still do think that's an upgrade at the running back position. You still got Crosby. Like, to me, there's enough to like here that I do think that the Raiders, well, they do finish fourth in the division, are going to be at least frisky in a lot of these spots. And they play the Chiefs well.
Yeah.
And by the way, Chiefs are -120 to win the division. That's the shortest price they have been in 4 years. We're not breaking news here that this could be a tough year for the Chiefs.
And you look at this, and it's 3-1 for the Broncos to win the division, 3-10 for the Chargers, and both win totals sitting at 9.5. And so you just go like, okay, if I'm doing the math correctly, should I just bet this, that, or other? I think that there is, if you're betting the 300 on the division, I would also maybe sprinkle a little bit on just the over 9.5. I think there is a world, I think, that exists that the Broncos can win 10 games and then not win this division, you know, and whatever. So I do think that world does exist. And so I would probably kind of split maybe that bet a little bit when I was doing that. But yeah, it's a deal where typically these teams either that win these divisions typically vastly overperform, or we just get that completely down division where everybody is just hovering at 500 or a little bit better. You know, I actually think this division might play out the opposite, where one of these teams ends up winning 13 games. You know, I actually think that it could be the Chargers or the Broncos.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if either one does. This is one of those where I think you get three playoff teams from this division.
I think that's fair.
I think that this is the most likely division to get three teams, I should say. I think the Broncos are in the conversation for the 7. I think that the Chiefs are probably going to be your five or six. And I think that the Chargers win the division.
My other two that I was just higher on, Eagles and Rams. Look, you can't be that much higher on the Eagles because of where everything sits. But I just think people were so worried about the changes in the offseason that they're making something out of something that I don't necessarily think needs to be as huge of a deal, because it's still it's the core, the nucleus, the players, everything is all still there. It's different, I think, when it's a regime change and you're also changing all this personnel and all this other stuff's going on, but that's not really the case here for this Eagles squad. So I just, there might be a slight fall off. I don't think it's going to be this disastrous thing. And then we've talked a ton about the Rams. Like, I love the Rams this year.
Yeah, I like the Rams as well. They didn't make my list.
Yeah.
The Eagles, I think, makes sense. It's hard for me to put the Eagles on a move-up list because they just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like,
right.
So it's like, it's tough for me to put them there. The Rams were one of my considerations. I've started to grow warm on the Seahawks because every year I seem to...
You love that
team. I just love the Seahawks. I don't know why.
Do you have fond memories from Seattle or something?
No, I don't actually. Okay. I didn't love like the Seahawks of old either, but I like to move at offensive coordinator. We'll see if that makes a difference on the offensive side. I do think Darnold can be successful if that offensive line's a little bit better. For me, the biggest upgrade is the Packers. I think the Packers are going to be good this year. The more that I've dove into this, last year was just a mess of a year from a drops perspective for them. You saw Love miss time. This is a Packers team that could have won three or four more games last year, but just didn't because of one score situations. I think the Packers are going to be good. Mm-hmm. I think they win this division, and that's why I have them moving up. And not surprisingly, I've got the Lions moving down.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a tough spot for the Lions. We saw what happened when you lose both coordinators to the Eagles. They're losing both coordinators, and as much as I love run through the wall, you know, I'm not sure that he was the reason everything else was going so well. I think the coordinators had a big part of this, and Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson up in Detroit, and losing both of them, I think, is a big problem.
The other one on the downside for me is the Vikings. You can read on the betting guide on mine with the 49ers, so you can just read that one over there. But for the Vikings, and it's mainly because it's just an unproven quarterback, and for me, always... most important position in all sports, and I don't like to make assumptions when it comes to that. And so just assuming J.J. McCarthy is going to be good, I can't get there.
Yeah, down for me was the Commanders. We talked about it yesterday. Up for me is the Texans. I think the Texans end up with the number one defense in the NFL this year.
Betting Guide does come out on Tuesday. You can read why I don't like the 49ers in there as well. VSiN.com/betting-guides or VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of all of the specials that we have going on. NFC North preview when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich. Are we rich yet? Are we rich?
Oh, we started out okay. We had the 8-1 shot in the first leg.
All right.
We're off and running. Rich. We're five races away from being...
We're five races away from
being... I will say this. That guarantees this will pay at least $5,000.
Okay.
That one horse, like that... That
like no matter what happens from here on out.
Yeah, if we chalk out, it might be like $2,500. But it is highly unlikely this pays short now.
There we go. Look at that.
Now
five
we have
races
to,
away from being rich.
Just five, win five more races.
Just got to win five more races.
Real quick.
If it comes down to that one... And that horse you love so much doesn't run fast.
That'll be a bummer. That'd be a bummer.
When do we start hedging?
You don't hedge in horse racing.
You don't?
No. How do you hedge in horse racing?
Bet the no on that horse that you...
There are no no's in horse racing.
There should be no's.
Well, there should also be fixed odds.
There are.
But hey.
There should. Could you imagine if there were no's, how much shenanigans would happen?
Oh, shenanigans up the wazoo.
Oh my God. Like jockeys just pulling up.
You can guarantee yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it would invite
jockeys
so much
collusion
and yeah, no.
Oh, it would be the worst.
You should not be able to bet no's.
It would be the absolute worst. I take that back. That should not be a bet.
No, because
we're worried about Beasley.
Right. Exactly. Unlike like basketball players and player
daily,
props.
It would happen daily.
Especially like you have all these little tracks where they're racing for $5,000
day.
And you can get like, you know, obviously you have to find someone willing to take the other side of the no.
Yeah.
Because books would not book that.
It would happen every single day.
But if you go to like international markets, most of them have like a fixed odds exchange where you can bet another person on a specific horse up or down.
Okay.
So, but in the U.S., we do not have that offer.
NFC North is a division that I think if we started to power rank divisions as to what could be the most difficult divisions out there.
I was going to ask this when we were talking about the AFC North. This is the division of death now, right?
Yes, it is.
Like if the title is moved over from the AFC North to the NFC North, which is wild.
Yeah.
Because the Bears are in this division.
I know. But I actually think, and I might just be drinking the, because everybody knows, everybody that listened to us last year, we were so anti-Bears. We bet every under, every everything. We won all those.
We bet all tunders, all those. It's fun.
I actually like what they did in the offseason. I actually think that they're, I can't say that it's going to translate on the field, but it feels like they did everything right that they could. That you can control other than going out and playing the games. I think they did everything that you could control. They did it very well.
If Caleb Williams is good, this is a good football team. It simply comes down to that.
Right. If he's not trash.
Yeah. You went out and you upgraded the offensive line. You upgraded the wide receiver room.
Awesome offensive line.
To a very good offensive line. You upgraded the wide receiver room. You upgraded the head coaching position exponentially, specifically focused around the offensive side of the football. You've still got an average to above average defense.
You drafted him a tight end in Loveland that is
legit.
Very good. Yeah, it's very good.
I mean, this is a, can't believe I'm saying it, a well-run offseason from this franchise.
I know.
So now the question is, what does that mean on the field?
Right.
What, 8.5 currently the line, plus 425 to win the division. I don't think they can win the division. I think there's too much in front of them this year. I'll tell you this much. I'd rather go over 8.5 with them than the Vikings.
I think if I were to bet the Bears, I would bet just alts on them one way or the other, because this either doesn't work.
Or it really works.
Or it really works. Yeah. Like, I don't think that they're just cobbling together a 500 season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh no, this team's good and they win 10 or 11 games, or, oh, this didn't work. Caleb Williams actually really is trash.
Yeah.
And they win 6 games.
Yeah, and so much for this.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with the thought process. I will say this. I think they're going to be better than last year. I do lean toward the over. It's hard for me to see them winning this division. It's hard for me to see them winning 11 games. Mm-hmm. Because I'm down on the Lions versus their performance last year. I still think the Lions are a very good football team. I think the Packers are going to win this division and be a very, very good football team this year. And the Vikings, look, if J.J. McCarthy's good, there are 4 good football teams in this division.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the head coaches, I like LaFleur a lot. I think Dan Campbell, you've got some question marks there. And obviously Ben Johnson, a first-year head coach. And I'm saying Dan Campbell question marks because I really love Darren Glenn and Ben Johnson. I love the offensive and defensive coordinators. I think Dan Campbell is a phenomenal motivator. And that fight, as a CEO, he is a very good head guy. But he needs to replace a lot of talent on those coaching staffs to be able to replicate what they were able to do. And I do think Ben Johnson was a big part of the offensive success. What's Jared Goff going to look like without Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at this Bears team, and I don't want to make this all about the Bears, but I do think it's a very interesting team as we head into this season, because you've got right out of the gate Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
but in J.J. McCarthy's first start ever. So, I mean, like, this is very likely a home game for them. You got to win that game.
You're
the Bears. Dallas is winnable. Las Vegas is winnable. New Orleans is winnable. Cincinnati's winnable. The Giants is winnable. Pittsburgh, Cleveland. I think San Francisco, people are going to disagree with me, whatever. And then you steal one more somewhere along the way. That's your 11. But I mean, again, you'd have to win every one of those. Right.
And,
you trip up somewhere along the way.
And
you probably steal one you're not supposed to
somewhere along the way. This Bears team's going to be a lot better. They're going to be a better version of themselves. I did not like Eberflus at all. I think this is a big upgrade at head coach. I think that matters. I think it's a big upgrade to the OC position, obviously, with Ben Johnson. So I'm excited to see what this Bears team is.
Is 8.5 too much for the Vikings with a quarterback that we've never seen before?
No.
So you're confident he'll be able to play?
No. I mean, I'm not betting the Vikings. I'm not betting it over. I'm not betting it under, because I respect the heck out of KOC.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got a phenomenal head coach. We know how good their wide receiver core is. We saw what they just did with Sam Darnold. What do you need from J.J. McCarthy? Right? To me, that's the big question mark. You don't need him to be great.
Yeah.
You need him to be serviceable, and this team could win 9 games. Well, and I mean, so that's why it's like, I don't, I don't want to bet to the over because of JJ McCarthy. I don't want to bet to the under because of KOC.
If you want to make the bull case for them, it would be that he was on track to start last year. So they thought he was good enough to start last year. And then the injury happened and whatever. So like he was on pace to be their starter and they thought that he was good enough to be the starter.
Well, and again, I respect the heck out of Kevin O'Connell. And I think he is one of the better quarterback head coaches in the league. And if he thought that McCarthy is good enough to start last year, now you've got a full year a full year on the bench, which is probably a good thing if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Like to be able to sit behind Darnold, to be able to be in meetings for a year, be able to hear the NFL lingo, be able to get updated on the system and understand what KOC is looking for when he's calling these plays and why he is and the progression of those plays. That is all the positive. So the makings are there for him to be good. It's just a question of what he is going to be when he comes out.
Yeah, this division is fascinating to me. I know there are a lot of people who are down on the Lions. Like this Packers team is there a better lined team out there than 9.5 wins for this Packers team? Because you're just kind of like, they're good. I don't know really how good, but they're good. They're good. They're goodish.
Well, here's the thing with this division and win totals. I would not bet a single win total in this division.
Right.
Because I would much rather be betting to win the division at plus money. I would much rather be betting alts to make the playoffs, to miss the playoffs. These are good lines on these teams. Mm-hmm. And they're all good teams. So like you got to decide kind of where your belief is here. And to me, if you have a belief in one of these teams, betting the over or under on the win total is not the way to put your money to work in that belief. The way to put your money to work in that belief is find plus money that makes much more sense, especially bigger plus money. And you can get plus 140 on the Lions to win the division. If they go over their win total, aren't they likely to win the division?
Right.
Right. So like to me, I'd much rather be looking at division winner here than specifically the win total.
I mean, what if you're really bullish? If you're super bullish on the Packers.
I am.
And you are bullish on the Packers, then what would it take for you to put a Jordan Love 25-1 MVP ticket?
A lot, because
you don't necessarily think he has to have a stunning season for them to.
No, I don't. I think he has to be good. I think he was really good last year and his wide receivers let him down. And the problem is it's the same wide receiving core. They might drop the football all over the place again, but his metrics were phenomenal. It was that his wide receivers really struggled catching the football in key situations. I like the tight ends. I like the wide receiving crew still. Like you've got four or five guys, and it's the same problem as last year. You got four or five twos, two minuses, three pluses.
Yeah.
Someone needs to be the one.
This is the most difficult division. This is the most difficult division to bet for sure.
So for me, you ask, I'm higher on the Packers than most, right? How do I want to try and attack that? I played some Packers number one seed in the NFC. I thought you can get that at plus 900. I played Packers to win the division. You can get that. I think it was plus 260 when I bet it. I would rather take conference winner for the Packers at 10-1 than I would playing the over on the win total.
Guys, if you want to come to town and play some of these big football contests, Winner's Circle Proxy can get it done for you. All you got to do is come and sign up in person. And with that, you can live anywhere in the world. And Winner's Circle Proxy will put your picks in for you each and every week. Head over to winnerscircleproxy.com/VEASAN to get all of the details. Circa Million, Super Contest, Survivor, all that. And hey, if you want to do a Grandissimo, they will do that for you as well. Winner's Circle Proxy.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment, Ready, Set, Bet here on a Sunday. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, thanks for being with us here for the last 3 hours. Do appreciate that as we just laugh at this golf leaderboard because every single time we look up, it's different. It really is every single time. Guys, fall off, jump back on, fall off. New guys in the lead, new guys off the leaderboard. It's crazy.
Your comment earlier was hilarious. You're like, wait, where did Trevor Bornson go? And it's like, oh, he parred two holes in a row. Yeah. He fell off the leaderboard.
Yeah, and then he popped back up. Someone did it. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Nico Echeverria comes out of nowhere. He's on the leaderboard now. I mean,
he's going to run out of holes, though.
Just wild.
He's 19 under, 15 on the 15th hole here. Kirk, your leader, 21 under on the 10th, on the 11th hole now. Hortkaiter, right there at 20. He's making the run. I told you, just need to miss that fairway.
Kirk has birdied three of the last four holes.
Now that happens on this course.
Yeah, that will That will rocket you up the leaderboard.
Okay, for final sure. Winning score, 23.
Well, they're a lot of them are making the turn right now. Seems like the back is worth two or 23-24.
Yeah,
because Kirk, if he keeps on the, I mean, he could birdie three of the last eight.
Okay,
for sure. So
23.5 is the number.
Yeah, it's the number.
All right,
with all that, man, it is going to be fun though, unless you have a ticket like me, and then you're going to be sweating it big time. With all of this, there's some guys at 18 that are still in this.
It's all about holes left.
Thurston still has 7 holes left.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, that's Hubbard, the key, right?
Still has 9 holes left.
Yeah, it's going to be tough with 7 at 18 though. You're 3 back with, like, cuz the leader has more holes than Lawrence does. So
more holes to bogey too though, you know?
Nope, there are not more. There's your only birdie holes.
Are we rich yet?
God, cool your jets, homie.
No.
We haven't even run the second race.
The second race hasn't gone on.
No.
Come on. We got it. This is a long burn.
For the instant gratification bet of horse racing, the pick six takes 3 hours. It was 30 minutes between each race.
This is a 3-hour bet?
Yes.
It's like a bet a baseball game.
Yes.
Oh.
It doesn't, you can't run 6 races back to back to back to back in 20 minutes. What do you think this is?
All right. I mean, I'm just, I mean, we're in it, so I mean, it's not like I'm getting out of here, but wow, I did not know we were in there.
Are you going to stay until the pick six is over?
Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
No way.
Come on.
Pirates 10-1 over the Mets in the bottom of the seventh, so yeah, that's a real score that's happening out there. The Yankees 10-5, they figured something out with the bats, I guess, but that's 10 runs on 7 hits, so.
Yeah, I mean,
they're getting a lot of help.
I don't want to talk about the game anymore.
They're getting a lot of help.
I don't want to talk about the game.
Still 2-1, Phillies and the Braves. And so Phillies looking to, it's the bottom of the ninth in that one. So they are looking to close this thing out here and get that win over Strider. And like we said, again, he didn't get blown up today. So I don't want anyone to be like, you know, thinking that we were saying he was going to get blown up. All we were saying is he is not the same dude. Spencer Strider threw 95 pitches today. He only had 4 strikeouts in 7 innings. Like that did not happen 2 years ago when he was healthy. Like,
no.
It just didn't happen.
He's mispriced. That was the whole argument, is that he's being priced incorrectly. He's being priced like the pitcher he was 2 years ago. They shouldn't have been -160, whatever, right? We cashed the first 5, so we don't even have to sweat out the ninth here as the Braves get a run or a base runner on first here with 1 out in the ninth. So I'm going to keep looking at these Strider lines. If there's still 20 cents, 30 cents of Strider cost tagged in, give me the other team.
Let's have some bad news followed by some good news. The bad news is that Patrick for the Brewers only went 5 innings.
Mm.
The good news is in those 5 innings, he struck out 8.
Hey,
so there it is. There the 7 plus strikeouts for Patrick does get home in that Brewers game. Only 1-0 though. Against the Rockies, Armand Marquez is getting it done against this Brewers lineup.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's had very good starts, specifically on the road. In previous years, it was always his home road splits were always very, very heavy. This year, he's not; just wasn't bad. So he's pitching well today against this Brewers team, but they are still losing right now. Like you said, 1-0 Brewers lead in the bottom of the sixth.
They did get going in Kansas City finally. So 2 runs across early for the Dodgers, 2-1. In favor of the Dodgers, Bubich gave up a home run to Kike Hernandez. So Kike Hernandez hits a 2-run shot for the Dodgers. They're up 2-1 there on that one. Let's get to our G-Bank best bets. And we still have 1 horse race left.
We do. Correct? Pin up, okay. Eddie, the ninth race here at Churchill Downs. 7 password ended up running 3rd in the 6th race. So that was kind of a bummer. But the 7 pin up, Eddie, still left to go here. This horse towers over this field. I think 8-5 would be a gift of a price. I'm expecting closer to even money. If you want to play the late pick 5, it starts in 2 minutes over at Churchill Downs. This would be my single in the late pick 5 as well. I think Pinup Betty gets the job done today in the ninth race at Churchill.
Do we like any of these late baseball games? I mean,
I didn't bet any of them yet. Yeah. I'm here for another couple hours because of my late flight, so I might end up on a couple of them. I do like Odell as a prop in the Angels game. I do like the Tigers tonight, but the price is ridiculous. We bought in the cycle segment. We all had Scooble K's involved. Scooble
K plus something, you know, to bring the price down. Because again, it's over 3-1, and there's just no way. I'm not laying 320 on any baseball game. I think as awesome as Scooble is, I mean, it's just still round ball, round bat. Weird things happen.
Yeah, I think Paddock is pretty bad. So if you want to play middle of the order props, I think that's a good look. Graybar Torres 4-for-8 against him with 2 RBIs. Kelly Carpenter 1-for-2. Green 0-for-1. I like Green the most. He was the one that I used in my props. But I do think if you want to play Torres or Carpenter props with Scooble and or the Tigers, and get a little same gamer for some late night action.
$500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Guys, you open up a GBank signature card. First 90 days, deposit and play through 1,000 over at First Bet, and that will trigger the trifecta. You get $200 in cash back on your Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match with that, and then to complete the thing, we'll give you a VSiN Pro subscription. Head to VSiN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/G, BANK. It's a one-time promotion, limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer, and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. You can apply today over at that VSiN.com/GBank. Terms and conditions do apply. 3 hours of horse racing for me. And I don't know what my afternoon looks like.
Well, just we'll find out.
Sweating. Oh, that's true. We could lose at any time. We could.
I mean, it's a lot of negativity.
No, I'm just saying we could lose at any time.
Of course we could.
Yeah, we could lose at any time.
Oh, get that. I need some soap. Give me some Sasquatch soap.
Some nonsense.
Wash that mouth out.
I guess, listen, if we're going to go ahead and talk about some things we handicapped well, we can talk about things we handicapped poorly. And it's, like I said, about one every four starts, it happens, and Leiter's out there dealing. 4 2/3, no earned. He struck out 5 already. And, you know, again, you get the good Leiter starts about, like I said, 1 every 4.
Yeah,
that's one today.
Pretty frustrating. A shout out to the guest we had earlier who was on the under in this game. 1-0, like you said, middle of, 2 outs in the top of the 5th. Castillo pitching well. Just Leiter pitching better.
Yeah. Yeah. Castillo, yeah, 4 innings. He has given up 6 hits, but he hadn't walked any. So, I mean, if you're not walking people and you're just giving up singles.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not that big of a
deal. The walks are like, to me, that's the one thing you just cannot do.
Is there a bet that you have made in baseball lately? Like any like futures bets lately?
No. Yeah. I haven't attacked the baseball future market much. I am going to look at the NL East. AL East. We talked about that quite a bit a little earlier.
Toronto at 6.5. And maybe there's a better number out there. I don't know. All we did was look at DraftKings.
The price is too short on the Yankees. Mm. That's where the entire handicap comes from in my space. Minus 210 right now, minus 250 earlier. Like, that's just too short on a team that I don't trust at all. One that we both wanted to fade coming into this year. And their bats have just stopped. Mm. And at some point, and now I know they got 10 runs today, but they need their bats to be able to be successful with the current roster that they have. So this is one of those where I am willing to go and see if we can find somebody I want to back inside that division.
We have made a gentleman's bet on the break. I'm head to head with you, my Broncos against your Chargers. Just season wins. That's it. We'll do a little Barry's dinner on it or something like that.
Yeah, we can figure it out. I get to pick the wine. I'm sick of going to Barry's with you when you pick the wine.
Okay, it's fine.
I
have good wine choice.
Well, when you're spending $400 a bottle, you can't have a bad wine choice.
So you're saying my choice of wine is not that it's bad, it's that it tends to be a little on the heavy side from a pocketbook perspective.
I am saying that I can't tell the difference between Boone's Farm and a $400 bottle of wine.
Ooh, but you couldn't put Boone's Farm.
Okay, fine. A $20 bottle of wine.
And I'm not saying anything bad about Boone's Farm.
No.
I've drank a lot of Boone's Farm.
I can't tell the difference between a $40 bottle of wine, yes, and a $400 bottle of wine.
Okay, that makes
sense. So I would rather pay $40 for a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Isn't that fair?
I don't think Barry's has a $40 bottle.
Well, I know that, but at the same time, they do have wines that are not $400.
Jake Knapp just hit a bomb birdie.
He's up to 20.
There we go. That's called a bounce back.
Yeah.
Coming off of a bogey. Good job. Look at this mullet, too.
It's phenomenal. It's going to be a fun mullet tournament follow this one home.
It's a good mullet on Jake Knapp. Fit the profile for this course. Just a guy can bomb it. Not necessarily the most accurate sometimes, but it doesn't matter out there in Detroit.
Have you watched the show Stick on Apple Plus?
I have.
He kind of looks like a young Owen Wilson.
Have you watched it?
I actually watched it yesterday.
Okay. It's mildly annoying at the beginning because you're like, they're overdoing this teenager thing. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And also, it's a little annoying, but it gets better.
I'm in. Yeah. I thought it was good.
If y'all are looking for something to binge, you don't have to pay that close attention. If you're doing like a second screen experience or something like that, it is one of those, but just hang with it. It's a little annoying at the beginning.
Studio is the same way for me. Yeah. I watched that one. A little annoying at the start. Got better as we got going.
Dustin Sweetelson walked through this studio again, looking as good as yesterday. Going to pop right in here.
Most dapper person on air.
I'm telling you right now. So stick around. Hang out with Dustin for a while. Good luck on all your bets.